It's so interesting in the Philippines. People are anywhere from really tiny to really big, depending whether it's more native population or the Spanish population, depending on.
Oh, no, for me, ours were just small to medium, but the Samoan population in California.
My second cousin's married to a Samoan.
They were the bouncers.
So I want to let you guys know that my IQM2 is like crashed.
Yeah,
I can't
mine's
even,
crashed too.
Yep, I can't even get it to get on. But I have the SonicLear backup going, so I'll upload that file after this meeting is over.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Thank you. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Good morning. This is the Johnson County Board of Supervisors informal meeting for Thursday, June 7th. It is 10:09 a.m. First order of business is the Johns County Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency. Discussion of requests from the Johns County Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency to utilize the Solon Secondary Roads Garage. We have a couple folks with us.
Thanks, everyone. Dave Wilson, Emergency Management. Quite some time back, probably around the holidays, I got notified by, I think it was Rod, who told me that there was a discussion ongoing about what to do with the Solon shed and the future of that property. Rod, of course, serving on the commission, knew that we had storage issues, mainly related to equipment that is somewhat temperature sensitive, especially during the winter. To that point, we built some storage a couple years ago now, addition on to building B at the fairgrounds, which takes care of our needs during the winter, but during the summer, it still becomes a bit of an issue with that stuff sitting down in the UV light, predominantly the dive team's equipment. And as you know, most of our calls tend to be McBride, Mahaffey Bridge, somewhere up on the reservoir. A few sprinkled down here on the river, but the vast majority certainly are up on the reservoir. So Rod indicated I should come down to a meeting. I came down to that where you guys were discussing with Kevin and Greg long-term future planning on what was going on that, and Herbert Hoover Highway's shed. It was kind of tabled at that time, as I understood it. And then Rod suggested at the last commission meeting that I write a formal letter to you guys just to keep it on the burner before you guys decide what the final outcome was going to be of the Solon shed. Since then, Greg and I, Kevin, have all talked. I don't know what the future plan is, but obviously, we've worked something out where the dive team can actually store our double-decker boat at our equipment trailer out there between either the Shueyville shed, I believe they call it, or the Solon shed, and kind of utilize those two spaces during the different times of the year to keep that close to the reservoir. So I just wanted to get that on the agenda here and discuss it before there was any final decision made. You know, if the decision's made that the county wants to move on and get rid of that property, then certainly emergency management would have an interest in. I think Kevin has an interest in maintaining some type of winter operations up there as well. I think it'd be personally kind of unfortunate to see that property go. But while it's in the hands of the county, in some way we'd like to be able to use that, you know, as storage up that way. What the final outcome is beyond me. It's not my say or anything, but I wanted to let you guys know that we certainly have a need for storing equipment out that way in one of those two locations.
You've kind of mentioned this, Dave, but there's two things going on. There's the current situation that until Greg gets an official thing from DOT, he doesn't actually know. So, you know, we're kind of working on two different schedules here. One is, if they take away that local road shed out off Herbert Hoover, that could change things. But we're just not going to know that until we know that. But
we think it's the option that it's going to stay, right? It's just not official.
So there's a contingency. Sure. is the thing. I think you know that. But I just want, for the record, be clear that there's a contingency.
Well, and again, just for the record, I mean, the way I look at this meeting was just mainly information sharing and getting everybody up to speed on what our interests are. We still have a need for some storage of some particular equipment out that way. And so either one of those would fit our need.
I came in kind of when this decision had been made to close two sheds and build one. and to use the proceeds of selling these sheds to help pay for this oversized one. Also, the county has had on its plan to add to what we call the Seats building out at Secondary Road, you know, the north, the west campus, bays. Originally, we thought it was to store paper, which we were all reluctant to do that, and we've reversed that trend. And so we're eliminating paper as quickly as we can. And in the new maintenance building, we built paper storage in there on the second floor. So the bays we're using for paper, there may be a way to get rid of those. But Rod and I are Greg's liaison, and we were out at Rhodes a few weeks ago, and I said, as we get closer to budget conversation and capital needs, it's time to really measure everybody's space needs and begin to add on, whether that's a two-year project or we save money and then do it all at once. But we're storing some diesel vehicles outside, which then they have to run, I don't know how long, to warm up so that they'll function, the buses and stuff. And there's other things maybe we're storing we don't have to, and a lean, I think you told us, Bear, a lean-to may work for some stuff, or Greg, someone told us that. And so I hope that later this fall we can have a multi-department conversation about what's being stored where, what do we no longer need, and it's time to get recycled. Because over here are multiple trailers,
yeah, that's what I was
and this
say.
Parking is the most valuable of anything.
I mean, Public Health has two or three, and we have one that's shared with Public Health over there. And aren't you also storing Iowa City's
Well, that's in like that. CarQuest. Yeah. But if we redevelop that, which I hope we're about to move into, I mean, we won't be, and they know that.
You know, Dave, another piece.
There's certainly been a storage issue as long as I've been here.
Yeah, and I mean, as in a growing county, it's not going to change, and that's actually something maybe for our next commission agenda. It wouldn't be a bad idea. You know, Solon's building a new fire station. North Liberty's doing all kinds of construction.
Well, we put feelers out with both those departments about, hey, by the way, but, we've got some equipment in your place already.
Right, but I mean, I think we need to do the formal. I mean, that was the issue. That's why I wanted you to do this.
Sure.
Is because it was just kind of, well, one person talking to another, but the decision makers weren't in the loop.
And to Jeff Fruin, when we were talking about, well, you can keep an ambulance out here at the fire station, but the fire chief was like, can you store stuff for us? And I'm like, is this a quid pro quo or is it just a ask? Because a quid pro quo is problematic because we may not always be able to do it. But I said to Jeff, we should have a broader conversation about space need in general and what makes sense to have closer to downtown.
Right. There are
and
two
what makes sense to have outlined.
There are two things going on because obviously everybody's covered under EMA, every municipality.
Yep.
They're all paying in.
Yep.
So it would be nice if various ones would step up to varying degrees, but there's also an issue of some stuff just has to be certain places.
It does. So, you know, kind of a couple points were made there that I wanted to expand on. Number one, we are growing. And so as that, you all well know, I'm preaching to the choir, our service requests change dramatically. I mean, we're doing some partnerships with the auditor's office over replacement of Big Red, as you guys are aware. We've got a couple light towers that we're doing as a partnership with Iowa City because, as you know, light towers become an issue when we have polling places and other things. And then we have a couple variable message signs. Well, we've got to think about storage for all those, right? So a lot of our operations have been collaboration, which is what we're all about. And so Iowa City has said, you know, well, we can maintain and store the light towers. North Liberty has said, you know, we've got stuff of yours that we store and maintain at Public Works. You know, Kevin and Greg will be taking on the storage and maintenance of the variable message signs. But it really does become a global picture because we've got stuff everywhere. I mean, every fire department, with the exception of Oxford, has a boat that's an EMA boat. Conservation has an EMA boat sitting there and soon to have the old sheriff's boat. We've got partnerships with people everywhere, and everybody's got the same thing, right? North Liberty's got space issues. Iowa City's got space. I mean, it's a universal problem. So I think my understanding from North Liberty, Coralville, North Liberty, and Iowa City has been that they have plans in the works to build larger facilities. I just really don't want to see us, you know, kind of wind up with a shortage of space is my interest. And some of the stuff logistically.
You don't want to see us sell space and then turn around and you have to lease it somewhere. Exactly. Yeah.
Because our stuff isn't fancy. I mean, it can go in a Morton pole building, for lack of a better word, as long as it's got heating, right? And it just needs to stay out of UV and be heated.
Kevin, I mean, you've talked about the, if nothing else, you'd like to keep the salt and sand there, right?
Yes. Good morning. Kevin Braddock, maintenance superintendent at Rhodes. There is a four-bay facility up there with the fuel shed and a salt and sand dome. And, you know, it's a pretty major hub. Solon's, obviously, we have the new Shoeyville facility, which is quite large. And Dave and I have been talking, you know, if it winds up where the county, if we continue to have that facility, you know, it can be a seasonal thing, or if you don't need boats so much down in the Solon area, the boats and things could go up to Shoeyville in the winter for storage, because and just work with them seasonally. Wintertime, yeah, that's when that facility benefits us the most. As far as, you know, we have three snow plows that pull out of that facility currently, and they would just get shifted north and west, and a motor grader comes out of that. So we run from pretty much Interstate 80, Rapid Creek, all the way to, the North County line, and encompasses about three routes, and then everything into Sugar Bottom and back towards Mahaffey. So it is a convenient hub for us. Not to say that we couldn't operate differently. I mean, in an emergency ice storm or in the middle of the night, I would say probably 3/4 of the calls I get after hours or in the middle is typically up in that vicinity, you know, Mahaffey Bridge Road, up through the rocks there. It's always shaded. It'll freeze over some evenings, and there's a request for sand or salt. But yeah, it's a pretty good size facility for salt and sand. Actually, Mike Hennis, assistant superintendent, myself, and two other folks probably back in mid-early 90s built that in-house. So.
Great.
You're dating yourself, Bear.
So, I know. Yeah. I got a little sweat into that building, so I kind of...
This is just my perspective, but, I mean, we have sheriff, ambulance, roads, seats and fleet being the same, emergency management, plus the urban cities and Solon. And we all need to just have a conversation, because... Do you actually have a list that we know where all your crap is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we turn into Saunders every year and about this time. Yeah. Yeah.
But, and I think.
I don't think they call it crap.
I think we have to.
Ouch.
Some of the stuff he's gotten at auction is. But I do think we have to have a conversation about what we're going to do on adding on to the building and what's going to go where. And I just think we need to do that this fall because we put off that adding on to the building. Sally Stutzman was still here when she was pushing for it. Mm. And we just kept stealing, you know, reprioritizing our capital improvements. This is my perspective. I would sit tight on the Solon shed, have that conversation this fall, and get a game plan.
The other thing that I think is probably in our favor is we had originally talked with the city of Solon about giving them first right of first refusal. Now that was a big deal to Swisher wanted right of first refusal. Solon does. I mean, their city's kind of said we don't really need it. I mean, we would take it, but we don't really need it. They actually said, well, the school district needs it more than we need it. So the good thing is there's not some kind of. I don't think there's going to be some hard feelings over a broken promise or anything. I don't think they've felt the need.
Well, and for us, for us, basically, like I said, it doesn't need to be fancy, you know. So I actually, for most of our stuff, would prefer to not be in the areas that have tighter building requirements. Iowa City, Coralville, for instance, just because basically it's keep stuff out of the UV and keep it heated in the winter. And you know, right now, We've got stuff sitting out that, you know, soon we'll probably try and relocate a couple items up towards that lake area for the summer, because we've already had a vehicle recovery up that way.
Because, like, you don't actually have a boat any closer to the Cedar, right?
No, the closest boat we would have would be Solon.
Yeah.
One boat in Solon. And again, I don't know what conservation's doing up there. I haven't seen or heard what their long-term goal is or design, but I know we have one presently at the south end off Sand Road in that property that they acquired.
Once they get done up there, it would make sense to put a boat there, yes.
And my suspicion is, I haven't been involved in much of those discussions, but my suspicion is that the one they're inheriting from the sheriff's office is probably going there, is my guess.
And it's not perfect for their needs. But it was a, what is that called, low profile, it doesn't take much water.
John boat.
It's not a John boat, it's a...
Yeah, it's the Express.
And we had just had a conversation where they can't get into some of their properties. Yeah. And I'm like, well, if we're getting rid of this one and it has really no resale value much, then why not just transfer it to a different department? And it'll get them by until, it's because it's not perfect for their needs either. But.
Sure. Rod's been a privy to this discussion. Well, Janelle was at some of those meetings as well. You know, the issue of what goes on basically from Sugar Bottom Campground, Mahaffey Bridge boat ramp through about May 20th every year becomes a bigger problem every year. So we have a foot of siltation that occurs on that north end every year. Every year, like clockwork, we get calls up there for somebody that's stranded their tube, their kayak, their boat with the dog and wife and two kids. So we have to go up there and respond to those. So we're going to have to get back in the hovercraft business. And the discussion's already been, where are we going to store that? Well, it doesn't make sense to store it in the Iowa City metro area when 100% of our calls are coming out of that area.
And Dave's talking to the marina.
And we've been talking to the marina up there at, I think that one's called Mid River, if I remember right, about trying to stick it up there. And that way we can respond, right? Sorry, Betcha. So we can respond up there to Mid River Marina and grab the boat and go.
I was just laughing.
Place because, it up there.
No, the reason why I was laughing is that used to be one of my polling places, because there was no public building within my precinct confines. And so we, the Harley Davidson store and Mid River Marina. Yeah, we actually
That's
voted
all
there.
Where you had to go vote?
Yeah, so, I mean, but those things continue, you know, and my point being, I'd hate to see us get rid of property that we already own when we've got, like Janelle said, expanding space needs for just about every municipality in Johns County.
If we let this go and then you feel the need to buy it somewhere else or rent it somewhere else, I mean, you know, what a waste of money.
So. Well, and when I first started, we were in a rental for the Duane Arnold radiological stuff. We had a rental storage unit across the alley from ambulance. And that was, I mean, we might as well set fire to our money as far as I was concerned. And we put that out at the fairgrounds.
Me and Corey Bonnet loaded that all into the back of an ambulance in 2008 when the water was coming up and took that all out.
Rescued it. And the power plant was appreciative because they called me afterwards and said, so I suppose we have to replace all that equipment. It probably flooded. And I said, oh, no, we got it out of there. They were like, oh, wow. They were surprised by that. So anyway, that's my my advocacy, I guess, is I'd hate to see us get rid of property when, you know, we all have kind of a space needs issue.
Well, I think you've kind of worked it out amongst yourselves, and I don't think you need to formalize it. But until we figure out what's the DOT's going to do, but – you know, that's a really nice piece of property there, and, you know, conservation is, I mean, we offered it to them, and they said it was too far away from, Cedar River Crossings, or is that what they call that up there now?
Mm-hmm.
And too many river crossings. But we're building a new northern operation shed up there, or not shed, or facility. We're a fast-growing county. We're going to need space, and just getting rid of space. I mean, the place in Swisher was, I'm kind of glad to get to offload that place, you know, because that had some issues. But it's right in the middle. But this is the only thing I could see that could go there is a convenience store on the north side of Solon, and we could make a pretty penny on that. But right now we have so many storage needs that, and you guys just kind of informally working together on moving your, as Janelle says, your crap. I don't think Dave would call it crap.
Yeah, we've got one of the 510 trucks.
I really
up
just
there
want to get a reaction out of it.
Yeah, she just wanted to see me agonize over that. Conservation has our 510 up there.
Only slightly a hoarder.
It's got a well-organized list, though.
I do.
He does. I can vouch. He knows where it's all at.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is, but he does.
The Swisher thing, to Mike's comment on that, we wound up not storing in that building, but the garage right behind City Hall. We've got one of the mass casualty trailers is up there now. So, I mean, I don't want to portray it as, no, the cities are stepping up.
Right.
But we all have the same problem.
Right.
You know, we're all scrambling.
I think someone should call a meeting later after the summer. Get everyone to inventory where they are and where they think they're going to be in the next 10 years. And then have a broader discussion on what we're going to do about it. I mean, that's my play on it.
It's probably easiest way to get that led would be like through public safety. I think
is it that, or you guys do the joint group where even the school district's involved? I always forget what that meeting's called.
No, because council members have no. It's city man.
Okay.
We need our own internal. What's going on with seats and fleet and roads and you and sure. Sheriff?
I actually
because Lonnie's got stuff downtown that he has to have downtown. He has other stuff that doesn't necessarily have to be downtown. Mm-hmm. And just have that conversation. But
a lot of ways, Dave, I think you're a good person to take the lead on that.
Yeah, I can grab it.
You work for everybody, yeah. And all the chiefs that respond to you. And
I can get something together here in the fall and call the city manager or assistant city managers in and the chiefs of departments and say, hey, what's our long-term plan on this stuff? Because, you know, Brock Holub and I just met the other day about the light plants. You know, with Iowa City, and I was like, okay, I don't want to get these if we don't have a place to store them. You know, and you're the first ones I've asked because logistically, again, with those, we wind up using them here in the metro. We're
right.
Either use them for polling places or RAGBRAI or the fair or
right.
Some event.
And I would start with an internal meeting because our job is to address our own needs, not everyone else's, but there may be a broader discussion to be had. Because, you know, we're going to run out of land at secondary roads if we're down the road. So we can't fix every problem there.
Yeah. Well, and I always get kind of nervous, too, about putting all your eggs in one basket because
right.
The types of storage that we're talking about are not super sturdy buildings.
Right,
they're not
absolutely.
The Jek, right? They're not. So if you're Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and you've got a large logistical facility and all your stuff's there, and the tornado blows through. I mean, they destroyed all their equipment.
Right.
And that really scares the hell out of me. Excuse the language. So I've always been happy that we've got partnerships and we've had willing partners that are willing to take the equipment. Because if I have any one place get hit, I don't lose everything.
Right.
You know, I lose some stuff.
Not putting all your eggs in one basket, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
You coined that?
No.
I
didn't say it.
Pretty sure that
I didn't make that.
Created the internet too.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we don't need any action. We're just you guys.
I just wanted to come in.
An update.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think Mike had me on the agenda. Right? Do you need anything else on me on this topic, Mike? Sir. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Dave, you look at that email and
yeah.
You probably don't even need to call me. But if you send me a couple of links, it's probably going to be enough.
Oh, I can do that.
You take your choice.
Yeah, I'll get to you this afternoon.
A slew of moving on to secondary, anything other here from.
He's gone.
So, they're gone.
Yeah, right.
Secondary Roads Department discussion of 2080 agreement with Iowa County for replacement of structure FHWA number 203690 P71. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this was the structure that we unfortunately had to close a couple of weeks ago due to our staff were out there. We had some material that was being washed out behind the abutment. They were in there fixing it, and the bridge had been inspected the year before. We were in there doing the repairs and realized that probably ought to have an emergency inspection done on it because some of the piling had rotted. And did we send pictures of
yeah,
that?
You did.
Mm-hmm. So you guys saw exactly what we saw.
Yeah, it looks scary.
Yes. And, you know, I think I'm going to have to sit down with our structural engineer just to make sure that we're maybe not cutting the life of these bridges to the point that we have over the past couple of years. Because I know we had the Rapid Creek Bridge that was an emergency closure down to one lane, which we're going to talk about this morning, and this structure. So we're getting our life out of the bridges, which is good. But I think we things happen. I mean,
we need less emergencies. But your email also said you believe that an overweight.
Yeah.
And that is my question. Is there technology now that's affordable enough on these weight embargoed bridges to put up a camera of some sort? Because I'm really tired of people coming through and destroying these bridges and not being held accountable.
You wonder if you could do something that was actually triggered
right
by a scale in the road somehow.
Or I just wonder if there's any technology
great discussion
out there.
I'm unaware of any. I mean, certainly there are cameras. We all know that. They're wireless. You can do cell connection to it. And they do have sensors where you can set up on the bridges where you can determine what the load limits are. But by the time we get the sensor information back to us, it's already been crossed.
Right.
We just don't have immediate response, if that makes sense.
Can you see the license plate number or something?
Well, if you had and sometimes it's not going to have a license plate on it. Unfortunately, it's going to
like
be
like a combine or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it may be coming from that, or a honey wagon crossing, or, you know, somebody taking heavy trailers over that are
or
overweight.
Or so dusty you can't read the plate.
Right. So, yeah. So there are a bunch of factors.
I
right.
think there's two parts here. One, our bridge inspectors need to be told we can't have a surprise every year.
Right.
And we got to get these bridges in the right order. And two, the people who are thumbing their nose at weight need to be held accountable, but we're not going to get any help from DOT. They've laid they haven't laid them off. They haven't replaced them. So every time someone retires, they don't get replaced. And so nobody's out there checking weights anymore. But like there's two people for the whole state, right?
They're spread very thin.
And this is, people are just driving too heavy of loads across, you know, very old bridges that weren't designed for it. They were designed for horse and buggies.
Our times are changing.
And Model
Ts. You guys all know that. And everything is heavier, longer, larger, bigger. I mean, it's just.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but the good news is we're building like 7 or 8 bridges these 3 years, right?
Yes. We have. We do have an aggressive program. And thank you for your support to our department to get these bridges replaced and provide the funding. So thank you.
It's somewhat encouraging when you see that some of these ones we've been replacing, you know, have literally been, you know, 1912. We had one that was 105 years old,
mm-hmm.
1920, 1912. You know, so, I mean, they've done the job. And presumably what we're putting up is going to get the same kind of life, so.
That or more, correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep, correct. I mean, these were old structures. I mean, we're talking.
What year was this, do you know?
Hey, don't know if I don't think I brought that with
That's
me.
Okay.
It was due to be replaced the next year. So it was one of our top 10 worst structures we have in the county. So because of this unfortunate information, we've had to make a modification to our program, and the Dingleberry structure that we had talked about replacing, we're shifting that. So we're going to modify and move that because it's not an immediate emergency like this is.
This agreement is Iowa County is going to do it. We're going to pay them opposed to the other way around.
Yes, correct.
Good, because we don't. We're busy.
That's exactly what staff had informed me, you know, this week. So that's absolutely correct. And Iowa County said, you know what, you guys did the bridge last time, which was the one north of 80, the
right.
other timber structure that we replaced. They paid half, and now they're going to do the same exact thing, only in reverse. So we will pay 8% of the construction estimate, you know, what the final bid is for that, and then obviously we'll pay for our side of the road for any right-of-way acquisitions, permits, we'll split the cost on.
Greg, are you comfortable with, are they using the same design we would use, that you would use?
They are not going to build a timber structure. This road actually has a little higher level of traffic, so we're going to let them. I'm sure it's going to be a standard DOT design, which will either be a concrete slab or a concrete.
But you're comfortable their design will be what we would use.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It will meet, and we will also sign off on the plans.
Okay.
So just like we gave them the opportunity to review and sign off for their county engineer, we'll have the same opportunity here. Yeah. Yep.
It's a good example of governmental bodies working together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like cooperation.
So this agreement would be set on the formal for your approval. The agreement has already been approved and signed by Iowa County. So it's coming to us for approval. So it will be on the formal for your consideration next week.
Thanks.
Excellent. Moving on then, number two, discussion to direct auditor to publish the notice of bidders for rehabilitation of Johns County Bridge I-29-2 over the tributary to Rapid Creek on Rapid Creek Road in Section 29, Township 80, North, Range 5, West, and known as project number LFM I-29-2-7X-52, and set a letting date of July 10th of 2018 at 10 a.m.
Correct. Yes, and just as a organization of items, for the formal next week, I've already talked to Mike about this, but this item actually should be last after you have considered and approved the right-of-way acquisitions.
Right.
Because we need to have the right-of-way first. And at this point, it doesn't matter, I don't think, but we need to have the six properties first next week, and then the approval for the letting would follow that once you consider and approve the allowance of the purchase for the right-of-ways and easements.
And Greg, just in case any public is paying attention, this means the road will be closed.
Yes.
For how long are we thinking?
Well, that's a good question. Let's see here. We are looking at project late start date for this project will be set for August 6th. We are opening bids on July 10th, and we have 65 working days. So we're talking mid to late November at the latest.
Okay.
So we should have it opened up late this fall. That's our goal. Mother Nature always has a tendency to throw curveballs at us, but that's our goal, and I think that we're being fairly conservative on the working days, so we should be able to complete that without any issues.
And what's the detour out there?
Detour, well, anybody coming up will have to probably drive up Wapsie and cut over on Morris. I honestly don't have the detour with me, but yeah, that'd be one route I would think with, and the other way they'll just have to back out.
Luckily, this is past where the heavy traffic is.
Yes, it is, correct. So we, with any construction project or bridge replacement, they're painful during the construction, but we are happy to have things done, and we've had a couple of jobs just recently opened. I'm sure you saw the Twitter from Jasper, which really turned out to be a nice project. So
yes. Okay, move that forward. Three, discussion of proposed contract with Leroy Mullenix for $1,322 for the purpose of acquiring permanent right-of-way and temporary construction easements for rehabilitation of Johns County Bridge I-29-2 over tributary of Rapid Creek Road in Section 29, Township 80, North, Range 5 West, also known as project number LFM I-29-2-7X-52.
Yes, this item and the next five items are all for the same project, and we have six properties on this bridge, which is not normal, but every property owner that we're going to be discussing today, we do have signed contracts with those property owners. Unfortunately, those weren't the ones that were uploaded because we received them after the documents were uploaded, but all six of these properties have signed and we're good to go. So it would be your approval next week to proceed with this project. I can give you a little bit of history on this. Permanent easements were valued at $9,089 per acre. And so as part of these acquisitions, we have the set acre value for purchase, and it is by easement. And then we have the temporary easements for construction, grading, where the contractor may have to go in and do some ancillary stuff due to construction, but then revert it back, and that would be the owner's. I mean, it's always theirs, but we're just paying them for their use. And how the temporary easement is set up is it is at 8% of permanent for 1 year, or $100 minimum payment for that easement. So you do see that we have two of these properties in here that are at the $100 easement because that's the minimum payment for a temporary easement. So the fees, all of the fees include the acreage that we would be purchasing as part of an easement. As part of the federally regulated acquisition processes, we would then be paying for any loss of fence and or trees that were in the right-of-way and any damages that would have caused, that would be caused due to the construction project. So these are all fairly reviewed and have been discussed with all the property owners, and all six property owners have signed the documents. So good news. It allows us to proceed with the project.
So can we do these all at once?
We don't really have to do anything.
Let's just all move them forward there.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have to vote on them separately.
We'll vote on them separately, but I don't want to read all these.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Mike.
No, it's those code numbers that scare them.
And it's very self-explanatory, the documents that have been uploaded. If you read through it, you'll know exactly how the payments were, you know, the acquisitions and the negotiations are handled. And so.
Sounds good.
Great.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for your consideration and support to the department for these types of emergency activities that come up. So thank you.
I like the goatee.
My wife said grow it back, so that's what I did.
That's what you do.
For whatever reason.
Right. I'm not allowed to shave this off.
Yeah.
My wife and my daughter.
I'm not allowed to shave. Yeah, she likes it well.
Have
thank
a good
you very
day.
Much. Yeah, thank you very much.
Not that I likely would anyway. But.
Thank you, everybody. Let's see, moving on. Board Office Executive Director Mike Hench reports and inquiries.
The main point I'd like to make is we're trying to develop a system to more timely respond to an unsolicited citizen input that we receive on some of the general board email addresses, you know, like Soups Only or Board Office. There's three different ones because there's times where you folks are all busy or maybe people are away, and so it's unknown to us in the office if you're able to respond to them. So I'm just repeating that what I said last week. If when you reply to somebody, if you just kindly just let me know if you did, because that way if I don't get any CCs within 2 days, then I can just send a generic response right to the person sending that email that we've received the response, I mean their input, and the board will be considering it or something. I'll come up with something. I just want to make sure that we respond to all emails that we receive in a timely fashion.
So basically, if we respond, then we copy you on that response.
Yeah. I don't necessarily care what your response is, so if you don't care to send the response to me, that's fine, as long as you just sort of tell me, I responded to this person. That's all I ask. Yeah. So that after 2 days or 3 days, then I can just send them an email.
But it's easier for you to get that in email rather than us verbally going, by the way, Mike, I...
Because I get about 50 by the ways every day, and then I sort of lose track of where everything is, so... If you just CC me or BC me, mm-hmm. or just a quick email saying I responded to Joe Smith's email.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mike. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Board of Supervisors business.
Could I add something with Mike? Yes. Mike, I think there's some confusion, not just amongst us, but also with Coravelle as to when we're meeting with them. I know we'd talked about the 12th and the 26th.
Hmm. Yeah. I will double check.
I think I had some sort of conflict on the 12th.
I had requested it wasn't on the 12th because I was going to be gone, but I was told it didn't matter and it was going to be on the 12th.
And for me, it overlaps with empowerment on the 12th.
I will ask Jill to clarify that issue.
Yeah, that'd be great. And she probably should double check with Coralville too, because I'm not even sure if they're clear.
So what day is it?
Well, Tuesday, the 12th, 5:30.
They meet the 12th and the 26th.
We
talked about both days, but I thought we had settled on the 12th. But
you may have, but I've got a overlap there.
Yeah, I don't have it on.
I'll get to the joint meeting quick as I can. Hopefully I'll be able to cut out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I have it written down as next Tuesday as well. But there's a lot of things going on, so. Mm-hmm. And I have
thanks.
Things, you right, bet.
We'll do.
Anything else for Mike? Okay, moving on to Board of Supervisors business. Number one, discussion of ban the box, inclusive hiring practices concerning people with a prior criminal conviction.
I'm having trouble with IQM2 on this. Yeah. Well, I mean, even this one, instead of having the ban the box thing here, it has attachments of the security camera and video policy. So it's not even, you know, when I do get it to load, it doesn't even give me the right document.
So does mine.
And
yes.
Before we get a lot further into this, any of these discussions, I'm just going to let you all know I'm going to be leaving at 11 for a regional governance board meeting that normally doesn't start till 1, but we're starting at 12. So I'll be cutting out of here soon.
Okay. I'm glad you're here for this part, at least.
Okay, great. So
Janet,
where do we start?
Janet's not always with us. Normally, we'd have this discussion on a work session, but since Janet's here...
Yeah, she couldn't make... There was a conflict. She couldn't make that one last time. And I don't think you were here either, were you?
No.
When we had it on the work session?
So, I saw your email. Ban the box does not mean that you won't consider things in background check. Mm-hmm. It just means that people aren't dissuaded from or applying for a job because they have a record.
It kind of moves,
automatically.
It kind of moves, you know, moves it to a different point in the process, really.
Right. Toward the end instead of the beginning.
We have never not... People have filled that out and let us know. The issue was always if you lied to us, you know. Mm-hmm. But
well, that's true in any part.
To my knowledge, the county has not considered someone who filled out something there. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that someone who has a record may make the assumption you're already going to do that, not even apply. Right. And I think that makes total sense. And we talked about it at one time, but we just didn't get.
Yeah.
Kind of the board
years
meeting.
Ago, but it just didn't really
right.
go anywhere.
So when I saw Lynn County do it, I said, "Well, we obviously need to do this here." And I'm not sure. It's up to you, I guess, really. If we can just, you know, take their resolution and replace Lynn with Johnson, I don't know. But if you want to make other tweaks?
Yeah, I haven't. Like I didn't actually see their resolution because I have the security camera policy.
Right. Yeah. You can't
too.
but I think, why do we need a resolution? We just order that the application has changed, right?
Yeah. I think you can do that because it's. It's just Johnson County's application, and already it's like HR will change things if a department head wants that, or an elected official wants something different on the application. And so I think if we just say take it off, I think it would be fine to pass some resolution. I'll be glad to look at it if you want to do that and make it official. That's fine.
I tend to like the more official approach, but...
I think both points are well taken. The passing of a resolution, though, is... good way for the public then to know that we've done this.
Yeah, I have no problem.
And then those people would be affected will be going, you know, if they get wind of it, or, you know, word of mouth is, as you know, probably the way people hear most things. Mm-hmm. They'll hear of it.
Yeah.
And they'll know then, okay, well, there's an opportunity for me.
And I think it is a good opportunity for you to make a public statement about it and just say, We want everybody to apply. This is, you know, somebody having a criminal history is not going to necessarily exclude them from employment, and that's why we want to make sure that people don't feel deterred from applying, and we welcome everybody to apply for a position.
There's your
here.
Resolution.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get that down?
Somebody type that up.
It's recorded.
We'll
take a look at the Lynn County one. And
right.
Discussions with both NAACP and Kevin Sanders, who's the local director of the NAACP, was going to come to sit today, and then also of the Inside Out Reentry. Mm-hmm. They're both very supportive of us banning the box.
Mike, can we try to get both of them here when we actually do take this up for a vote?
Okay.
Whenever that's going to be.
Probably
Kevin Sanders at NAACP, and I'm not sure at Inside Out.
Jamie Kearney's on there, but I met the
new
director yesterday.
He's not there anymore.
The new director of Inside Out, I'm sorry, I don't know the person's name.
Is it Melissa?
And the Lynn County resolution
she was there
could be tweaked by Kelly, and if she'll listen to Janet's words a couple minutes ago, just include those.
Yeah, throw some of those in there.
There was also the Lynn County HR director sent Kurt, who I think forwarded it to Laura, a list of just sort of things they had considered, which is probably pretty helpful.
Right,
too.
It's a useful thing. I can send that to you too if you want, Janet.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
I think I can do that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. Mike, could we skip to 3 while Janet's here?
Yes. Thanks. We can do that. Let's go to number 3, discussion of security camera policy. And this actually is attached to your document.
Twice.
So the safety committee considered this last week. I made some notes. Did I hand them to you?
No, you did not.
Dang it. Did anyone else give you?
I heard back from most of the people.
I sent
the draft that we just attached late had some comments, And I will still, I've sent this out for other people to have a second review. And so you'll get a third and final draft early next week.
And my comment, it was one of those by the way things, but then I put it in writing today, is that on 3A, we name who the authorized people would be. And it just seemed to make sense to also have them named in 2C, where it's first mentioned, only those persons authorized, to just kind of
reverse the order.
Yeah,
make it simpler to read.
I'll just put it in both places if you need to or want to. But
so mine was more logistical, like it's too narrow on who's going to check the cameras, and because Eldon doesn't do it, I think IT's doing it. You know, so I just wouldn't get in a hurry to pass this and. Without getting people's feedback.
Bill hasn't, he's had two copies, he's never commented on that portion.
Okay.
So I'll double check with him.
But, I mean, people have had ample opportunity, right? You send it out to the departments to comment.
Yeah, these countywide policies really just take a while to get out because we want to make sure we have everybody's input because right. Everybody has a different piece of the policy that they have concerns of.
Sure.
So it's just sort of trying to meld everything together and then if you move one thing, then it's sort of pushes something out somewhere. Right.
This started long enough ago. I mean, Sally started this. Yeah. And Bill actually, I don't think Bill has any concerns about the tech part. Bill's concerned about the Janet part. You know, he just wants to make sure what he's being told.
I mean, here's an example. Law enforcement contacted Eldon wanting cameras for a crime. Mm-hmm. And Eldon just gave it to him. Which is fine, because he didn't know anything else. But county attorney's office should have been engaged in that. It's not Eldon's fault. We didn't have a way to do that. I mean,
yeah, that's why.
If it's an emerging issue, it's a whole different matter.
All these external requests, which generally include law enforcement, we'd want to always, that's why we put that section there about consulting with county attorney's office.
Where specifically, Mike, is that? Where should I look for
okay,
that?
One moment, please.
I'm reading through this, but I...
In addition to who's going to check the cameras...
it'd be item 3F.
Okay.
Some sheriff's deputies asked me if there is a way to have remote access to the buildings if an issue was going on by them. And I said yes, and I talked to Bill about it, and he said it's just a matter of buying the software, because we only have software on so many computers, Eldon's, Bill's, someone else's. And that made total sense to me in a emerging issue that the sheriff's office would be able to access all the cameras. But we just need to have that the board is authorizing that.
That's an item 2E. That's the new language to include that.
And it has to do with buying the correct software.
So can somebody help me through this? Janet, maybe you can help me through this. Hypothetical example. We have a complaint that a custodian at night, somebody thinks they've stolen something. Who has access to follow up on that? What's the process? How would that work?
I would think that probably whoever thinks it's stolen would go to the department head for that department where they think it's stolen, and then probably also get a hold of Eldon, and probably Eldon and HR would look at the video.
Because see,
Eldon on his own doesn't have authority to.
Right.
Check
see
it
that.
Out, right?
See that's my. That's.
I feel like there's a piece missing.
Yeah, that's my concern. Is I kind of want to make sure that. I want to make sure that kind of stuff, frankly, is either going, to me it needs to either be HR, or I'd actually even prefer your office.
We have a policy in place that says you go to Bill, and Bill will help a department head.
An individual, though?
A department head.
Right, but
okay,
see, that's...
Not an individual. Like
not an individual, you know.
I don't believe in the current policy.
Well, we...
And that's
at
my...
At least we...
That's my concern.
About it. We told
is like,
department heads, and that Bill would only come to the board if he thought someone was abusing that.
Because I think
we had an elected official who monitored his employees 24/7, 365 days a year in the building.
Well, even doing it once is wrong.
I just think that they ought to have more consistent? Because Eldon's not going to tell anybody no, right? He's not going to pick the fight with a department head who says, I want to see my department. So it sort of seems to me like I'd like to have either HR or your office or some combination
same.
Say that it's okay.
Yeah, because
I agree with that.
I do too.
But that's it's not what happens at seats so or at sheriff or at ambulance or because at seats the buses are monitored by Tom whenever he wants. He doesn't ask.
Right, but I think we may need to talk about whether he can just do that whenever or if it has to be.
Something's been called to his attention.
Well, just that HR or county attorney says we just that you explain the situation to them and they've said yeah.
They use them as training at seats. I mean,
right. And they, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things like at seats, too. Somebody calls in and says, gee, I think I left my purse on
right.
a seats bus. Do we want to have to go through me to be able to look at that, to look to see if it looks like there was a purse on there at some time?
So I don't think it turned into a grievance because they dropped it. But we had an issue where Tom was looking at a tape for a totally unrelated matter. Found a driver did something wrong, was going to discipline the person for it. They were going to grieve it because they said that's not why you were looking at the tape. And I think they ended up just letting it drop because frankly they didn't want to fight the fight. But and it was a person who doesn't have a bad record or anything. But I just worry. I just really think so much of this is in the legal realm. That I just really like the idea of a stronger involvement of the county attorney's office before I know that it can cause extra work for you guys, and I'm not thrilled about that. But I just worry about department heads going off thinking they can do whatever they want and finding out later that they've...
So in order for Lonnie to review video, he'd have to come to Janet for permission?
What video?
All of the cars and all of the body cameras.
Well, I mean, we could give a blanket for that purpose, but
to the sheriff only.
To the sheriff or his designee, I suppose.
So what about GIS? Because Secondary Roads monitors all their vehicles and ambulance with GIS.
But that's not a camera.
So it's the camera that changes
it's
it.
The camera that changes
so it. So the seats, buses, and the sheriff's vehicles are the current ones with all cameras.
Mm-hmm. My concern is using it to just check up on people just because,
yes.
To check up on people. That's my real concern, and I'll just put it out there.
Yeah. On the other hand, if there is an issue with an employee, that's then an easier way to do that. Than
it is, right. but then
but that's why I want...
We don't want one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I'd want if they felt the need, if a department had felt the need to do that, like my scenario, hypothetical... Has this person been stealing? It just seems to me like they ought to go through some sort of, here's my concern, and Janet, I just wanted to alert you to my concern. Do you have any problems with me looking at the tape?
Or at least somebody from HR.
Yeah, somehow, yeah.
I'm second pair of eyes.
The other piece is I think we have to be careful here because I think this could end up being like the issue the next time contracts are up with people because there's a lot of emphasis from the unions about employees that's feeling awesome. As though they're watched, 24/7 and mm-hmm. and they want some protections. And I think if we're proactive and so the seats thing was a good example where I think if we're show that we will work with employees on that kind of thing, then we're not going to face a stalemate. Mm-hmm.
I think most of the comments you brought up are addressed in the second iteration, and I neglected to get Tom Braze's input, and that's my error. I'll get that receipts. Sheriff's Office is particularly excluded from this simply because of those issues of the jail and monitoring and body cameras for the mm-hmm. deputies.
That's and
a
dash cams.
Different issue, and dash cams. So I think most things have been addressed, and as we get in this to the third iteration, I think most things will be addressed, and then we can get Janet's input for things that need to be changed. We specifically have included her in most of the decision making, so she has the ability to do that. Nothing can really happen without the HR director to look over all employee relations type issues. And I include myself in simply as the board's representative to make sure that this policy is enforced.
Right.
That there simply right. aren't exceptions that become because of somebody who has more influence or something.
So there's like your 2E that you gave an example, that's a problem here because that does not include law enforcement. It gives power to you and Adam, but
well, the new iteration of 2E says...
Oh, I'm on the packet.
Well...
Oh, okay.
It says the risk management coordinator, executive director, or authorized sheriff's deputies. So...
Okay, I'm just on the one online.
Yeah, sorry, we just got added to the wrong...
There's place. Actually two different ones in the packet. One says security camera, and one says security camera and video.
That one was supposed to come out. The old one was supposed to have come
Which
out.
Is the old one?
The one that one. Doesn't say video.
Okay. Yeah.
I specifically say have the title security camera to add clarity to that. So we're only talking about what everybody colloquially calls the security cameras.
Yeah.
That we're not talking about anything else.
Got it.
I want to throw in one other thing that'll give some language to Mike is it's like we've excluded having cameras in the restrooms and locker rooms, which
right.
I certainly agree with. But if we're having an issue where somebody is waiting in there, and we've heard of, you know, women going into the locker room and there was somebody in there waiting who was weird and everything, and we want to be able to catch that person. I think for law enforcement purposes, I think we need a clause that says basically for law enforcement purposes, they can override any of these policies.
Yeah.
So just something in there because there are going to be those circumstances where we are going to want law enforcement to do more than what would normally
But again, then that's your call. So, I'd like that to be your call.
Okay.
But I also think we have to be very careful in that there is no expectation for employees of privacy at work. Mm-hmm. That's email, too. And if you go to our internet, we have the right to monitor their email. We have the right to monitor their workplace. I don't want to take away those rights and regret it someday. Mm-hmm. And you know, the expectation of privacy when you are doing the people's work is not there. And I don't mean bathrooms. I didn't mean to add, but you know,
if you're driving a seats bus or you're working,
if you're driving a seats bus and you blow a stop sign, which that happened in front of me, I called Tom. He had the video instantaneously and could tell that they did. That expectation of privacy is not there, and I don't want this policy to override our legal rights to have safety and security.
But I want to make sure.
I don't think it does. It just doesn't take us too far in the other direction. We're a big brother.
I want to make sure there's a kind of a due process that somehow it's being done fairly consistently.
Policy
whatever.
In mind.
Sure. And it's more than video. It's also the GIS because both secondary roads and ambulance have checked up on people with monitoring their location where they weren't supposed to be. And so it's just a much bigger issue than it feels like we're in a rush to do it as opposed to a rush to do it correctly. That's just where I am.
Well, I'm not in a rush. I just want to make sure, again, I just don't want a department head or elected official to be able to just start randomly doing stuff want him or her to know that at least Janet's going to be aware of their request so that she can at least say, and she probably can't tell another elected official, probably can't tell the treasurer you can't do this, but at least you'd know, and you'd be able to say, you know, my advice is that you don't do this, or whatever.
Or I understand why you're doing it, okay.
Right, right.
How long are you going to do it? What's your time frame?
Yeah,
or do you
want
to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like I think it's a legal issue where having our legal people involved makes a lot of sense.
And I think you're right that it might become a point of negotiation if we don't take care of it now.
It's not, it can't be negotiated right now. I mean, it's not a mandate.
Well, nothing's mandatory now.
Right.
Anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but it is an issue that I'd rather have, if it becomes public, I'd rather feel like the public would say, yes, I agree that they've got a good policy, then, well, it's willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I'll have a third iteration next week, then I can just coordinate with Janet to make sure that we address all her concerns. We may go on to a fourth iteration after that.
Well, like Janelle said, we're not in a hurry. We just want to get it right, so.
They're just, it sort of came to a mass in the last month or so with multiple, several department heads saying, expressing concern we don't have a policy on this.
Yeah.
So it just didn't come out of nowhere. There's several people that have concerns about it.
Okay, I think Kurt asked that we back up
A quick question, a point of clarification, really. Where did we leave that? Janet's going to create a new one, and this will go to another informal, or will it go to formal next week?
Ban the box?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ban the box.
Where did we leave that?
My understanding was you wanted us to take the Linn County resolution, adapt it with the language that was discussed today. That I wasn't aware of.
What Janet had said.
Oh, you're gonna.
No. Just go back and listen to what she said.
Okay.
Yeah. And
do you just want me to send you a note?
Kurt, we don't want to do the resolution before Laura's had a chance to change all our forms and everything, probably.
Right. So, okay. Well, I guess this is what I'm at. You know, what sort of time frame we're looking at, and so on.
I would put a future date for when it's going to be implemented, just because a lot of people, I think, have probably already applied for positions.
Right.
And
all right, so it'll have
keep their application on file. And,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe the start of the fiscal year might work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. You have to leave. We'll behave.
Yeah. Is there anything else, Janet? Is there anything on?
No, we've got one job description, but
we can handle it.
I mean, E2.
E2. Yep.
Actually, Janet, if you're going to cut out, could we go to reports and inquiries with you real quick?
Yep.
Yes.
New offices. What is the status?
We've had a couple of meetings with the architects in the last week, and the initial estimate for the cost for the build out was considerably higher than what had been estimated. And so the contractor is going to get us a kind of a list of what's the breakdown on different expenses to try to figure out how we can get the price more reasonable. So because, you know, it's kind of like the architects came in, we kind of have a design for the layout, but we haven't really looked at the specific materials. We're going to have to look at that. We talked to the people from Modus Engineering as well as McComas Lucina, and our IT people were there at the meeting, Eldon, Tom Kriz, people from my office too with the architects, and are kind of looking at and talked about, okay, what do we have to have, what do we not have to have, what are the different types of material that we have to have for heating and cooling and stuff like that. So we're waiting, and hopefully we're hoping that maybe tomorrow we'll get something from McComas Lucina with that breakdown, and then we're meeting again on Tuesday. We also had a meeting this week with the architects and Bill Deitch and John Good from the Sheriff's Office to talk about some security issues, and we just have to kind of figure out where to put cameras, what type of security glass we're going to use, and things like that. We're kind of going to get some prices on those things too. So. Panic buttons, things like that. One of the things too, as I was looking at the security camera thing, is that we're hoping to have cameras at our office at Midwest One that can be viewed at the same viewed live from the deputies who are at the back of the courthouse, so they can also be monitoring kind of if there's something going on, just for security purposes. So we have another meeting, I think it's next Tuesday afternoon, where hopefully we'll be able to kind of cut down the amounts of money that they're proposing right now, and I think that's going to be doable. McComas Lucina didn't seem too worried about being able to find some costs. A lot of the expense was in the electrical and different things, and we were trying to figure out kind of like, why is this so high?
Yes.
And so we're going to try to get that figured out. So anyhow, we're kind of moving along. It's not going quite as fast as we hope, but I don't think that's any surprise with any construction project. So.
Is it okay that all of that was under E12? Because we don't have a county attorney R&I on our agenda.
It can be under reports and inquiries of the
board. Oh, we don't?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant, E12.
The county attorney's line has been dropped.
It's not just not on the agenda.
Oh, so much. Gosh. Okay.
Let's say it was under
E12. Usually there.
It felt it. It will be all right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Janet. If you need to leave, get back to your meeting, that would be fine.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you coming over and
playing
musical chairs with Susie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go back in the agenda to Number E2, discussion of job description for the new position custodian 2 or 11, whichever that is.
That's a 2.
I can't get it to load, so I'm not able to review it.
It's the same one that was on the work session.
Yeah, it's, it hasn't changed. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm.
My stuff is loading. It's just loading really, really slowly.
I'm comfortable with it. I think.
As am I. Eldon dropped by this morning to check on it, too.
I think one of the things we're going to find here is that the position is written in such a way that we've got some flexibility with it. The hard part is going to be once we bring on this new space and everything, Eldon's going to probably have to shuffle some people around, and that'll be the hard thing. You know, people are used to what they do. And
so it's the lead worker custodian. Is it one pay grade higher? Does anyone know?
One.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
I believe it's time to shop around for a new IQM2 system.
I completely agree.
What do you think, Alex? Do you have a thought? You're relatively new. You're deferring, Oak.
So I don't think the problem is going to be in the job description.
It's
I think we're going to have problems in implementation.
The logistics of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I had.
I'm good with that.
Cool.
Okay. So we'll move that. I guess that moves forward to formal. Okay. Then we go to E4 appointments. We have a lot of appointments here to boards and commissions.
I'll just go through, if you don't mind.
On 4, can you tell me when the Veterans Affairs Commission meets?
A monthly. I don't know.
It's not on our little chart.
I will make sure that's upgraded.
Because that thing we were talking about a couple days ago is a result of it not being on that chart.
Okay. If I can just cover E5 through 10, I have all the sheets here. I can just
4 through 10.
E4 through 10, you're correct. So, for Commission of Veterans Affairs, there's one vacancy. One person is asking to be reappointed, and there are two other new applicants. For County Case Management Advisory Board, there are 3 vacancies.
Wait, one question. On the ballot, we have to have the gender.
Yes, it's actually on the sheet here. I just didn't read it. What the current balance makes in the
but
gender of
when
the.
When she sends us a ballot, it has to be on there.
Yes.
Okay.
I presume you'll just get this same sheet that lists the genders of everybody. For County Case Management Advisory Board, there's 3 vacancies. And new applicants is 4 females. I won't say that. 6 people, new people have applied. For Food Policy Council, there are 4 vacancies, and there are 8 people who have applied.
Nice.
We're actually getting some good replies for our advertising efforts. For Historic Preservation Committee, there's a total of 4 vacancies, and there are 7 new applicants. For Juvenile Justice Youth Development Policy Board, there's 1 vacancy and there's 2 applicants. Livable Community Policy Board, there's 6 vacancies and there's 6 applicants. In Seats Paratransit Advisory Board, there's 2 vacancies and no new applicants.
Well, I guess except for that one, kudos on the marketing there. Nice job to get that much interest.
So you,
at the last paratransit meeting we had, the people there were talking about specific people that they were going to go out and recruit, that they wanted. They had some names. So
we'll just have to re-advertise for that one, and hopefully maybe those.
You can advertise a shorter period and
we'll give it another like 2-week
Tom
push
to make
or something.
Send an email to his people.
Yeah, remind the people on the board to go after whoever those folks were that they recruited.
I think we need, at least one of them has to be a consumer.
Yeah, I remember they had a consumer in mind. I don't remember her, I think, name.
Yeah, I got it.
And you'll receive the poll with this information for you to make your selections in the upcoming few days.
Great.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Sorry.
So anything anything else on any of the boards or commissions? Thank you. 11, discussion of state and federal issues, including updates from the Urban County Coalition, pending legislation affecting Johnson County and representation of county and supervisor position. What have we got? No Urban County call tomorrow. Our in-person meeting is Friday the 22nd in Linn County at the G. Noxley Building, I guess. And anything else that we need to know about what's happening in state? Okay. Reports and inquiries. Let's go. Kurt, how about you?
Sure. Mine's pretty light because I was out of town over the weekend at my reunion. Go Falcons. And had a nice meeting yesterday with Gary Bow talking about our mutual interest in, well, it's going to be a pretty heavy lift, but trying to get a veterans treatment court up and running. I was talking to Janet about it too yesterday, and it's, you know, there's no money and we'd have to flip the legislature to do it, but, you know, trying to do some of the groundwork for it and, you know, find out some of our current stats and see if we can't, you know, slowly get that ball rolling. And I've got a meeting, as do a couple of you this afternoon, I think, with Sarah Barron on that stuff. This weekend, I hope to see people out there at the Great Iowa River Race. My wife and I will be out there in our kayaks with that. Kudos to conservation and everybody who's behind that.
What's that, Saturday or Sunday?
It's Saturday. Saturday morning starts at 10 a.m. Shuttle starts at, I think, 8 a.m. And that's going to be a lot of fun. I haven't paddled that section of the river yet, so that'll be nice.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It does this along.
Yeah. And I wanted to note with sadness from all of us in Cubs Nation the passing of Red Shandienst. For all the folks in Cardinal Nation, you know what this guy was. And to me, he was the original manager of the Cardinals to me, because when I was a kid and coming up and learning about baseball, he was the guy that ran the Cardinals. But he also played, I think it was 15 of his 19 years with the Cardinals. And he passed away last night, and I learned that, well, up until last night, he was the oldest living member of the Hall of Fame. So, noting that, and also a tip of the hat to Jason Hayward on that walk-off grand slam last night. Go Cubs. That's it.
Okay. How about Rod?
Okay. So, a few quick things. Just want to remind folks, 4th of July is coming right up, so if they have fireworks permits, get them into us and get them into us soon. This past weekend, the Arts Fest, nice event downtown, especially with things torn up. I thought they did a great job of pulling that all off. Obviously, we had the primary election on Tuesday, and congratulations to all the winners, and thanks to everybody for running, and much kudos to the auditor's office for running what seemed to be a pretty smooth election.
Yeah, and a record turnout, too.
Yeah, record turnout. We had our community partners event last night, which was well attended and nice. Tonight is the Crisis Center Hunger Banquet, so going to go to that and see how that goes. And then I wanted to remind folks that the DHS director, Jerry Foxhoven, is supposed to be at HHS on the 11th. I think it's at 2 p.m. And I would expect that he will back out again, but he's scheduled to be there at 2 o'clock on the 11th. So be a good thing if you get a chance to stop over there. And that's my report.
Thank you, Rod. Janelle.
Mike Hinch and I are on the safety committee, and we had our meeting We've had a few recordable accidents, nothing particularly surprising. It happens. Sheriff's deputy and an ambulance, and it just happens. However, they're being monitored now, and we're keeping data and trying to learn from anything we can. After that, we were able to tour the solar arrays and ambulance and went up on the roof. And despite what it might have looked like, we were nowhere near the edge. I'm just saying, there is a long... but if you get a chance, I recommend you go, because looking down on... They only had one of the trellis solar arrays there, but they are a different panel than what's on the roof. And it's designed to transfer some light through it too, and they get reflection coming back.
They can get up to 35% of their energy production really from under light coming up underneath.
Pretty neat.
And so I should probably reach out to Eldon then to get me up there.
I'd have Eldon, or if Eagle Point's over there, that's who to call us. But your card will probably get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Into the. But there, and I didn't open the roof; they did it. So I don't know if there's a trick to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
the guy said the hatch was tricky.
Yeah, so okay. You probably should have someone take you just because it's tricky.
Yeah, but I don't want to go alone anyway.
That was really interesting. The Johnson County Livable Communities had that community dialogue last week, and I heard from people that said, we should do this more often. I just thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a who's who of community leaders and electeds and managers and I heard from multiple people who were really glad that they were invited and could be part of it.
And it's up online now, right? Or it's going to be, I guess?
I don't know
the
answer.
Want to see that? They were filming it, so I assume it's up there.
I had a liaison with Fiona Johnson at Ambulance with Lisa, and Fiona is working on increasing the part-time staff, but is holding off on the full-time positions that we authorized her. She believes she can save some money by delaying those a little bit. And so, Ambulance has always done that under Steve Spindler, and it's great to see Fiona doing that. They're doing a lot of outreach. I think today, maybe, is their hands-on.
It's been the last couple of days.
Yeah. And, CPR and first aid and... And Fiona listened to the staff and has ordered lighter weight shirts. I don't know if you know that the uniforms they've been wearing are really hot and nasty. And Fiona was able to build that, get
some
it into
like
her
breathable
budget.
Breathable nylon stuff or something?
Yeah, it's more of a breathable. And the staff is giddy about it, just so you know. I saw some of them at the farmer's market, and I touched that was on that 100-degree day, and I'm like, this stuff is horrible. And it's something the staff has always wanted, and so I accused Fiona of buying them off further, they need it. And the security vest that we have purchased, some people now are wearing them all the time. Now it's voluntary. There are protocols when they think you should wear them, but we're not mandating it yet. But they're self-choosing to wear them, and boy, are they hot. I was able to participate on Arts Fest, and on Saturday, the Iowa City Wear Orange Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense, nice rally. Did Pause for a Cause at the dog park, and I'll just say that people love their animals, and us included. The celebration of community partners was just always enjoyable, and I really liked it last night. And in addition to the Hunger Summit this weekend and the Great Iowa River Race, the choir has its Pride concert on Saturday night, the 9th, at 7 o'clock. This year is at Corville Center for Performing Arts. And I'm going to leave it at that, other than to say... to the auditor's office, record turnout in a primary. They had to print ballots. They barely ran out of ballots in one precinct, I think, for just a few minutes. But just absolutely amazing that turnout was 7,000 people higher than your projections, and that became a challenge for all of you. So thank you for getting the county through that without a lot of drama. I really heard from nobody that was experienced any particular delays or anything. That
I only heard one complaint about one thing. So
yeah, I mean, that's, you know,
Devin and I breezed right through
it. Primaries, and they're predictable normally, and this wasn't predictable, and it's really unusual. So kudos to the staff for getting through that, and Travis. So that's my report.
Excellent. Thanks, Janelle. I guess everybody took most of the things. Livable Communities Dialogue, was a great event. I was just amazed by all the heavy hitters in the room, and you know, and kind of talking about things. But the discussion became more than just about the issues that are related to seniors, but really about issues that really affect the entire community. So I thank all those. I thank Livable Communities for putting that on, and I thank all the elected officials and everybody else that that showed up, and the community leaders for a great discussion. Had a great time at Arts Fest. That's my favorite festival of the year. The music is probably the best, in my opinion. And then, of course, there's all the other ancillary activities, and all the art booths are wonderful. I also attended a couple of different rallies over the weekend to end gun violence, and I haven't worn so much orange in all of my life as I did.
You looked like you were going deer hunting.
Yes, well, that's what the orange is all about.
I think that's why they chose that color, right?
Yeah. Don't shoot. I've got blaze orange on, you know. So thanks to Moms Demand Action and all the people that organized those events, and of everybody that participated. Now if we can get our elected officials of the state and federal government to pay attention. The Community Partners event last night, I've never been so glad to give away $3.3 million. And what a bunch of great civic organizations, not civic.
How many opportunities do you get to give away $3.3 million?
Not all. Once a year, but we've never given away that much.
That's
so,
right.
But what great work that they do, and look forward to all the great work that they've done, because there is a lot of need. Thanks again. You know, we had a primary election on Tuesday night. Yeah, thanks to the auditor's office for gracefully handling a record turnout. Thanks to all, or congratulations to all that won. Thanks, and particularly thanks to all those people that ran. Putting yourself out there for elected office is rather daunting and humbling sometimes. So I thank everybody that took part in that that process, and especially to those who did not win, to consider running again at some time, and because your community needs you. And that's my report. Anybody else have anything for the good of the cause? Other? Okay. Discussion from the public? Seeing none. And G, evaluation and goal setting, possible closed session pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.51I to evaluate the professional competency of individuals whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered.
Move a closed session on those grounds.
Okay.
Second.
We have
for the finance administrator evaluation.
Yes. So we have a motion and a second. Discussion. Roll call.
Ready?
Aye.
Freeze?
Aye.
Carberry?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are in closed session.
Stand up.
You got to give us like 2 minutes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. I got to call up the stuff too.
Kurt's watch went off.
That's right.